Good morning and welcome to worship here at St Andrew's on the Terrace. Our opening words are just inside the order of service. What are we waiting for? Are we ready for whatever will come when it arrives? Let us be present now, attentive and alert. Let us feel the consciousness arise within us. Let us become more self-aware of how our lives are travelling and how we are travelling within them. It's good to welcome you all here this morning. It's great to have you here to be together, to take these moments of quiet in our busy lives. Kia ora tātou. Let us pray. May we savour this stillness, this quiet. And may we in these moments let go whatever it is that's bothering or worrying us. Or let go that for which we need to ask forgiveness. May our souls rest. May our hearts be open to what it is that we need to hear today. So may it be. Amen. And we say together from the laminated card the Jesus Prayer, or it might be called the Lord's Prayer in your version. Eternal Spirit, life giver, pain bearer, love maker, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God, in whom is heaven. The hallowing of your name echo through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Would Emily be up the back there? Is she interested in lighting a candle? How are you? I hear you've been to Australia. Yeah. Was it good? Uh-huh. Was it warm?
Yeah, very warm.
Very warm.
When I first got there, it felt like it was very hot.
Felt very hot when you first got there. Uh-oh. Have to try again. This isn't a very big wick. Here's Lucy too. How old's Lucy now?
She's 3. She turned 3 on our holiday.
Ah, did she? Keep it there. It's a new one. It's taking ages, isn't it? Try again. If at first you don't succeed, you know, try. Oh, you got it.
Do you want to blow this out?
That one. Yes. Well done. Okay. Good work. Now you are 3, you can blow out candles.
You know what, Susan's going to be talking to the adults, I think, because she hasn't said it yet, so I don't really know, but I think she's going to be talking about being ready for whatever happens, which is a really good thing to be. And you know, in the Bible, there's an old guy, a character in the Bible, a wonderful old story you may even know. I won't tell you his name just yet because I'm going to try. This is testing for me because not technology is not my big thing, but I've got, I think, loaded onto my iPad here, a little bit of a song which will give you a clue about my story. It's not quite the story Susan might be doing with the adults, but it's the same theme, so who cares? Here we go. Do you know this song? You heard that one? Where do you think those animals are going? Do you know the song? The animals went in two by two. Do you want to start singing? No, not really.
Well, I have a song on Mummy's phone where it's about the ants.
That's right, it's a counting song really, isn't it? You have the animals going two by two, the elephant and the kangaroo, and then later on you get other animals. It's all happening. And it's all about an ark. Do you know what an ark is?
I think it's a big boat.
You think it's a big boat, and you think exactly right. It is a big boat, and this is a bit what it looks like when it's got animals tucked inside. So I'm going to read to you the story of Noah's Ark. Now, some people in this church, you'll be surprised to learn, some of the adults feel a bit left out when stories are read from tiny little books like this because they can't see the pictures. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to ask all the adults to close their eyes and remember that wonderful story of Noah's Ark from their childhood. Close your eyes. You're all looking at me. You haven't got your eyes shut. That's it. Close your eyes and think of that ark, that beautiful ark, and think of all those wonderful animals. And you keep your eyes shut while we're reading, and then you won't feel like you're missing out because the story will play in your imagination. Okay, this is actually my daughter Katie's book, but I'm going to come closer so you can see it. And the adults will be fine because they'll see all these animals passing through their mind's eye, which is a wonderful place to be.
Do you think my mum needs to close her eyes?
this is a good question. I'm very glad you raised that. I think we'll leave it up to her. What do you reckon?
Can I look at the real
She's
pictures?
Not really that old, your mum, so yeah. So Noah is our man, and he was behaving rather strangely. Sometimes he would look up and nod, pretty wise. Sometimes he would look down and frown. And all the time he seemed to be talking to himself. But Mrs. Noah said nothing until one day, I love this book, see how it's got these little things that peek through? Oh, here comes the next page. It's going to rain, said Noah. We've got to build a boat. Wouldn't an umbrella do? Asked the very practical Mrs. Noah. Not a thousand umbrellas and not a moment to lose. It's going to rain and rain and rain. Outside, the wind blew and blew and...
I know this.
You know the story. You know how it goes. Don't tell Lucy because she might not know the ending. Inside, Noah made his plans. And when he'd finished, Mrs. Noah brought them tea. And Noah showed her what he'd done. There is going to be a mighty flood, said Noah. I hope you're all seeing this in your mind's eye. When the rains come, even the tops of the highest mountains will be covered by the sea. People have not taken care of the world. So we have been chosen to save the animals, and I must build an ark for them, which will float on the water. So Noah chose the strongest trees, and he sawed the wood into planks and began to build his ark. At last it was finished, and Noah said to Mrs. Noah, oh, look what's poking through here. Now we must bring together every kind of animal in the world. Wow. There were so many animals to find. There were stripy ones and spotty ones and muddy ones. Ooh. They chose two of every kind, a male and a female. Shiny ones and hairy ones and bald ones. I hope you're seeing them in your mind's eye. And two by two they came to Noah's Ark, which was finished just in time. Beautiful ark, isn't it? Look at that. See that one in your mind's eye, that beautiful ark that you remember from your childhood? Mrs. Noah had stocked the ark with everything she could think of. Oh my goodness, look at that. What can you see in there, Lucy? Is something you like to eat in there?
Well...
What can you see, Emily?
Well, they're... I like...
Just for the adults who can't see these yet.
The cupcakes.
Cupcakes, everybody. There's cupcakes. Picture those. And I see bananas. What do you see? What do you like in there? Anything you like to eat in there? Because you're going on a long trip on this boat. Something nice? Oh, what are they? Do you know them? Pears. Everybody picture a pear. There's pears in this ark. And at last, Noah and Mrs. Noah and the animals... Oh, the pineapples too, yes. At last, they were all safely inside with all the animals. Do you see all those animals? Stripy ones, hairy ones, bald ones, muddy ones.
My favourite one,
though. Oh, yes. And see Noah and Mrs. Noah all tucked up with the chickens, the roosters. No sooner were they settled than a great black cloud hid the sun and the windows of the sky opened and rain poured down. Whoa. And soon puddles formed pools. Pools became lakes, and lakes became seas. And when the seas joined together, the ark floated up on dark and angry waters covering the land. For 40 days and 40 nights it rained and rained and rained. Storms followed gales, and gales followed storms. Gales are big, strong winds. Until at last the storm became a shower. And the shower became a mist, just a gentle mist, and there was only a single raindrop left. The next morning, a beautiful light woke Noah and his wife. Imagine that'd be fun, wouldn't it, after all that rain? It was the sun, the wonderful yellow sun. They dressed and hurried outside. A rainbow soared across the sky. But for as far as the tallest giraffe could see, there was nothing but water. So Noah sent a dove to explore, and in the evening she returned with a tiny olive leaf in her beak. We are saved, cried Noah. The animals are saved, and the trees and the flowers. The world is saved. So all the creatures in the ark called out in thanks. I did not realize how beautiful the flowers are, even the smallest of them, until they disappeared, said Noah. The world is a beautiful place, said Mrs. Noah, and the animals and plants make it so. We must never risk losing it again. There we are. So there you are. That's the story about being prepared for a big flood in this case. And I hope you all imagined it in your mind's eye as instructed. But now it's time for you to go to the Rainbow Room and explore some other things, see what you can be prepared for in the week ahead.
So, we send you to the Rainbow Room to hear stories, have fun, ask questions, and we all say, we bless you.
Amen.
Okay, and we're going to pass the peace.
The first reading is from the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And the gospel is the parable of the 10 bridesmaids from Matthew 25, beginning at verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come to meet him." Then all the bridesmaids woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on the way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The bridesmaids who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Now, the contemporary reading is entitled "Esoterically Understanding the Holy Trinity Through Jesus the Man and Jesus the God." And it's a rather difficult reading unless you're following it. I'm sure Eckhart Tolle didn't understand that sometimes we might read his writing out loud. So I'll try and change the way I mention, say the words that are in brackets. So this is by Joshua Tillman, who's quoting Tolle. Excuse me. "I don't think there's anyone who has put the meaning of this parable any better than Eckhart Tolle in his book, The Power of Now. I quote, excuse me. "Jesus speaks of five careless, unconscious women who do not have enough oil, consciousness, to keep their lamps burning, stay present, and so miss the bridegroom, the now, and don't get to the wedding feast, enlightenment. These five stand in contrast to the five wise women who have enough oil, stay conscious. These parables point to the transcendence of the egoic mind and the possibility of living in an entirely new and the possibility of living in an entirely new state of consciousness." Tolle nailed it. "This parable has everything to do with something that we all have the power to implement every day, raising our awareness. For the word in scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks."
Let us pray. As we look at this parable known to us for many years, but with new eyes, may we see and hear the message that we need to hear this day. So may it be. Amen. Esoterically understanding. Now there's a word. I had to look it up myself. Esoteric. It's one of those words that I usually read in context and my ad hoc understanding seems to get me through, but when I try to explain it to someone else, I have to be a bit more precise. So one dictionary describes esoteric knowledge as, quote, "intended for or likely to be understood by only a small number of people with a specialised knowledge or interest." That probably describes us in this day and age. We're a small group of people with a specialised knowledge or interest compared with the rest of the world. However, this esoteric explanation of the gospel reading may elude some of you also in the end this morning, but don't worry, that's life. And for those of you who get it, enjoy it. We read everything from a certain frame of reference. We might read a novel about a certain setting, actually more interested in the author's research about the setting than in her characters. We read a travel book for its descriptions of a different place. We read non-fiction for facts and details. I even watch some reality shows on TV as character studies. We might watch the news for the weather only, or only for the political news, or the good sort stories at the end. For everything we take in, we tend to wear a certain pair of spectacles or apply particular sets of filters. And a common filter that's applied to this parable in the gospel, which I'm sure you've heard, is an apocalyptic or eschatological one. Such a thrill to be able to say those words. You learn them in theological school and you hardly ever get to use them ever afterwards. That is, that the parable is usually taken as a description of the end of the world. We are all the wise and foolish bride attendants, waiting interminably, it seems, for the Son of God to return at the final judgment. That's the take on that parable from that point of view. If we're prepared, that is, are the wise ones, we get to join the wedding feast. If we're not wise but foolish, we're left out in the cold or maybe in the warm, as in this worldview, the wedding feast has often been taken to be heaven, so being shut out means that you're in hell. Does this sound familiar? You've heard this parable preached from this angle before, perhaps. I don't know about you, but in this version, I was always left puzzled that the wise attendants would not be kind to their companions and lend them some oil. How mean is that? When they had the ability to get all 10 of them in, why didn't they do it? Typical, smug, self-satisfied Christians keeping others out of their equally smug, self-satisfied heaven. Who cares if the parable says it's too late? There is always an alternative. So the less well-known reading, the esoteric reading, looks at this parable from a different standpoint. Seeing the eschatological reading has had a fair hearing, let's give the esoteric reading some airplay today. This view of the parable sees it as a commentary on how much preparation or work we are individually putting in to increasing our self-awareness, growing our consciousness over our lives. It looks at whether we're preparing ourselves so that we will be ready for that moment when there comes an inner, deeply sacred marriage happening in our psyche. The moment Eckhart Tolle calls the now. That moment when everything comes together and we get it. I actually think those moments could happen more than once. Certainly they could happen in a big moment, but I think it could happen more than once. Joshua Tillman, whose quote from Tolle we heard, surrounds that quote in his blog with some more explanation, which is succinct and to the point. He writes that the five foolish bridesmaids represent our five senses that are directed towards the outside world. And the five wise bridesmaids represent our conscious awareness that's focused inwards. He argues that the Jesus or bridegroom figure here is not the historical Jesus and not about the final judgment, but a state of being within us. The Jesus or bridegroom figure is a state of being within us. And he adds, this state of being is developed through conscious attention that causes an expansion in consciousness. So this transforms the long wait for the bridegroom from a trick being played on us by God, keeping out of sight until it is too late. The waiting period for the bridegroom simply is our lives going by day after day, year after year, decade after decade. And many miss this passing of time because of those five senses focused on the outside world. Food, shelter, clothing, work, family, all really important, but not everything we need for truly conscious living. Suddenly you wake up at your 60th birthday and you wonder where the last 30 years have gone. We know that if we do not exercise certain muscles and then suddenly go tramping, skiing or running, we feel the pain of unused muscles creakily responding to unaccustomed use. And it's not unlike that with spiritual muscle. If we turn off simplistic explanations that we've been given in church, or perhaps reject those apocalyptic readings of scripture and turn away, not bothering with all that childish stuff, we stop exercising that spiritual muscle all we can. And it reacts to not being used and atrophies and weakens. It cannot support a vital spiritual life anymore. And that's why I often meet people with what I call a Sunday school faith at weddings or funerals, and they're no longer Sunday school age. They can be 40, 50, 60. They've fallen asleep on the job and allowed the outer life to become all-encompassing. And I can understand why. The outer life can be demanding and fascinating and stimulating. And because this kind of understanding is esoteric, only a few understand its importance. But the end result is that they miss out on a lot they could have had, and they miss out on a lot of joy and true happiness. So Tillman turns to the meaning of the marriage in the parable, and he writes this: "The marriage represents the union of your higher nature and lower nature. This process takes place from engaging in constant present awareness, a profound type of meditation. Just like as in the case of the foolish virgins, the door is always shut to this union for those who constantly keep their attention focused on the outside world instead of going within themselves to realize the present moment." And he carries on, "What's so special about this present moment? Being aware of the present moment allows you to bathe in the joy of creation. Learn to bask in its beauty, even in the most unlikely of activities and places, and I promise your consciousness will expand. When the foolish virgins come back to the bridegroom after purchasing their oil, Jesus responds that the bridegroom did not know them. You are not going to realize this state of being with purchased oil. It is not oil that the world can give you. This oil can only come from within you. That's why the bridegroom didn't know the foolish virgins. And this is why the wise bridesmaids could not give oil to the foolish ones. We can't give another person the consciousness that's been growing in us. It's a work we have to do within ourselves, for ourselves. It is not transferable to others." So Tillman asks his readers, how well do you know yourself? To truly know oneself, you have to be familiar with conscious awareness. You have to really experience it and be aware that you are experiencing it. When you come to the point where you realize that you are this conscious awareness, then you can say you are known by the bridegroom. This reminds me of the first Maundy Thursday that I was here. I was pretty nervous. I'd only just arrived, and I was setting it up in the sanctuary area, and I noticed quite a few people gathering at the back of the church, more than I'd expected, really, for a Maundy Thursday service, which is not the big Good Friday or the big Christmas Easter day. And then one of the people from St. Andrew's, who I recognised, started leading a whole line of people up the aisle and out and through the vestry. And I looked at that group of people and thought they were younger than people I would have expected to have turned up from this congregation to Maundy Thursday. It was a group of young people who had come from mindfulness class. And I thought, isn't it interesting? Here we are sitting in a Maundy Thursday service doing essentially mindfulness. They are choosing to do secular mindfulness in the building. And I'd like to suggest that the people who came to the Maundy Thursday service were wise bridesmaids, and the ones that went to the mindfulness class were wise bridesmaids. The unwise bridesmaids were the ones who were still walking backwards and forwards in the street, looking forward to their Easter holiday. So from applying this esoteric lens to interpreting the parable and many of Jesus' other sayings, you get a different perspective on traditional Christianity. In many ways, the traditional Orthodox Christian approach that emphasises a God out there that we have to placate and please encourages the foolish bridesmaid approach. It leads us to rely on our outward-facing antennae to make sense of the world and of God, not our inward-facing senses. Instead, we need to pursue spiritual practices that will develop that inner sense of being, that develop the ability to hear that still small voice within, which we already know speaks wisdom to us. We need spiritual practices like centering prayer at 2:30 p.m. every Tuesday in the centre. Spiritual practices that acquaint us with the sacred within. And then our light will never go out, but will instead illumine the world around us. Many of you used to sing about this as a child. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Will you be wise or will you be foolish? Don't leave it too long to find out. Say the affirmation together. Events often have ineffable quality, impossible to capture in words. Ancient women and men experienced more than words on scroll or page ever detail. So we know scripture comes to us, filtered through minds and hearts, contexts and circumstances. In the events of our own lives, we can be moved by feather-light touches of grace,
or touched around in a maelstrom of meaning, or pain twists our gut in rictus agony. So we know divine words fall in us without sound or vocabulary, shaped by who we are now. Spoken or unspoken, the word forms in us now, as formed long ago in people like us, yet not like us. We sense its truth in feelings too deep for words, or thoughts too complicated for grammar. So we know the word is all around us and within. In this, in all of us, is the word of God. Thanks be given.
Please be seated. We give thanks by bringing our offerings. We say the prayer together. We have enough from what we gain through income or benefit, legacy or gifting.
Enough to give to others.
This money we bring.
So this church can continue its work of justice, peace and compassion.
This food we bring.
So others who have little will have some.
May both money and food find the need they have been given to fill.
And do their work. May those who use both money and food be blessed in the using.
So may it be.
Amen.
Is Judith here? Judith, are you here? Judith Cowley was going to come and talk, but the message must have got confused. You'll notice at the end of the notices, there is a heading called Walk a Mile. And Judith is producing a small film, and that's a request for funding. She may come and talk to us on another Sunday. She mentioned two dates, and one of them was today. But do read that and take notice of it in the meantime, because I think they probably want the funds now rather than later. It sounds really intriguing. We have here a visitor from Hospital Chaplaincy who's going to come and talk to us. Barry will introduce him.
Susan, thank you. Good morning. You've heard me talk before about the Wellington Hospital Chaplaincy Trust, but I'm pleased to introduce this morning Noel Tiano, who until recently has been a chaplain at the wonderful team at Kenepuru and Porirua Hospital, and now is doing something special with the Interchurch Council for Hospital Chaplaincy, ICHC, to look at how we might improve hospital chaplaincy in a number of ways, and particularly how we might convince the Ministry of Health to keep funding the contribution that they make to hospital chaplaincy throughout New Zealand. So, Noel, please. He has a question for us, too.
Thank you, Barry. Kia ora tato. I bring greetings from Tawa Union Church and from the International Council for Hospital Chaplaincy. As many of you know, the Ministry of Health provide 50% of funding for chaplaincy services, hospital chaplaincy services throughout the country. Other 50% is raised through local churches and individuals and Wellington Trusts and others. So personally, I'd like to thank you, this church, for all your support and participation over the years for Chaplain Ross and myself and others. In preparation for the International Pastoral Care Week in October, we'd like to solicit feedback from consumers, from former patients, carers, probably during the past 3 to 5 years, and have focus groups in different areas, and listen to some of your comments, suggestions, concerns, and we hope to, you know, find ways and means how to improve the chaplaincy services in the healthcare setting, particularly in tertiary hospitals. And hopefully we can gather these data together and find ways and means as we project the services into the next 3 to 5 years. So I'll be staying a while after the service is over. And if you're interested, I'd like to meet with you and probably set a time where we could have a focus group. Thanks.
Yes, when Noel started talking about this, I said to him, well, I would be surprised if within the congregation of St. Andrew's here, we couldn't find sort of 8 or 10 people who would be interested in forming a focus group. So that's our challenge.
Okay. Are there any other people's notices if you'd like to come forward? I'd just like to explain the door closer on the door between the north vestry and the church. It's to save me making little trips up there to shut the door. So I go up there and I shut the door after we start, and then I go up there and I shut the door after the rainbow room people have gone out. I know that it's a real nuisance to those of you who are carrying things for morning tea, so by all means hold it back while you do that. But if the last person who goes through could just take out the little chock at the bottom, then it saves a draft coming through into the church. I'd like to say too that the Wellington Band and Orchestra Festival, which I mentioned I think in the e-news, was here making a lot of noise and a lot of joyful noise, I would have to say, beautiful noise, and every half hour a whole burst of school children, school, usually high school children, would come the alleyway. It was a health and safety nightmare really, but I have to say I looked around as I left on Saturday thinking it's going to be a mess tomorrow, but they tidied up beautifully, apparently except for the sound desk. It was, you wouldn't tell that they had been in here. It's amazing. And it was lovely to see all those school students enjoying music and playing really interesting music. So, other notices.
Morning. My name is Margaret Pannett, and I want to speak about the DCM Food Bank. There's a notice in the bulletin just inside the back cover, and it's run short of the following. So there's a list of food there, and I would add rice to that too, which is always in demand. Please remember the food bank until nearer Christmas, when we have a wider of community appeal, but the food bank is a necessity for people who don't have much.
Good morning, I'm Lynette Burrell. As I promised you, I'm here to tell you of the grand final of the New Zealand-wide Secondary Schools Choir Big Sing, which is being held on Thursday the 30th, Friday the 31st of August, and Saturday the 1st of September at the Michael Fowler Centre, with concerts each day which you can attend. The top 24 choirs selected from the regional finals are competing in this big sing finale. The choirs will be judged by Karen Grills, David Childs, and Peter Walls. And at the Saturday night concert, all 24 choirs will perform an individual item before the prize winners are announced. You must book tickets for this concert, as it is always a sellout. To be in the audience on Saturday night is a truly amazing experience, especially when all choirs sing together in a mass performance as a finale. Hundreds of young voices truly enjoying themselves. If you never witnessed a Mexican wave in the Michael Fowler Centre, well, here's your big chance. Sadly, I have another concert already booked for that night, so I won't be able to attend. But enjoy if you go. Thanks.
I'm Jane Tyler. The hospital chaplain talking to us just reminded me, I visited Pam Ormsby in Kenepuru on Friday. She was quite disturbed in her mind on that day, and when I arrived there was a chaplain with her who I think was of some help to her. Certainly I was totally unable to be of much help. So I just want to say what a wonderful job the chaplains do. I know how much my own husband appreciated the visits he got from the chaplain when he was in church in hospital before he died. So anything we can do to support them, I think they do a wonderful job.
Good morning, I'm Margaret Rushbrook, and I was looking around for Graham to get up and make an announcement, a promotion for the Social Justice Education Group after church today, at which Kath Kerr is going to be speaking on Christian World Service, and of course that is something that we, most of us here, probably support. So we're looking forward to that, Kath, and I hope a lot of people can come upstairs after the morning tea. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sue McRae, and I just stuck a couple of posters at the back of the church today about perhaps a competing concert on Saturday night. It's the Doubtful Sounds Go Bush. I'm a member of this small a cappella group that's run by Brian Crump of Radio New Zealand fame, and we sing old favourites like Weird Fishes and There Is a Light and Blue Smoke and Rocket Man and anything that Brian can get his hands on that's out of copyright, and he rearranges them spectacularly, sometimes to the point where we wonder how on earth we're going to sing them, but they all turn out okay. And the Holloway Inmates, a seven-piece band from Holloway Road and Arrow Street, is joining us to play some real foot-tapping music, so it's going to be great. The only thing is, it's an outdoor concert. This is Brian's doing, you know. Brian is a free spirit. It's an outdoor concert at 7 p.m. at the top of Holloway Road, which you may realise is sort of in the bush, which is why it's Go Bush. All the proceeds go to local conservation, so they're doing a lot of work on the tracks in the bush there to create walking tracks, biking tracks, and places for people to enjoy the bush. And so the $5 or koha that you give will go to that. This Saturday, 7 p.m., top of Holloway Road, gumboots optional, entertainment guaranteed.
Joan's notice reminded me that I meant to say that I visited Pam last night and took communion. I asked the nurse what I should say to you, and she said, just say that Pam is her usual interesting self. You will find her agitated, and if anyone's planning to visit her in the next wee while, you might like to come and see me and I can tell you some more about that. But hope for improvement was certainly indicated by the nursing staff.
Just before I introduce the prayers, I just wanted to remind you, draw your attention to the notice in the order of service about the special general meeting to be held in 2 weeks on Sunday the 2nd of September. And we are going to vote on a motion to potentially draw down from our property fund quite a large sum of money to go towards the refurbishment of the organ. And we are also at the same time, and I'm informed we are allowed to do this, we are going to tag a small proportion of that money for improving disability access at the front of the church. So it would be great to have a good turnout for that. It's quite a formal process that the church imposes on us. These are property funds that we hold in trust, but they are governed by the church property trustees, and so we have to go through a three-stage application process that starts with a parish council agreement, actually four stages, congregational agreement, then it must go to presbytery, to the property group there for agreement, and then finally to the National Church Property Trustees. So a bit of a tedious process, but obviously important that whatever decision we take about our own assets, if you like, our own treasures, is a well-made one. Now we're going to have the prayers. Let us pray. Let us pay tribute today to two people who lived their lives fully in consciousness to the world around them and their relationship to it. We give thanks for the life of Kofi Annan, son of Ghana and former Secretary General of the United Nations, statesman, internationalist, diplomat, and man of wisdom. A light has gone out for the people of Africa and in the world. We pray for his family and the international community where he continued to work in this time of great loss. And we mourn too the passing of Aretha Franklin, Queen of Soul. From poverty to international musician, a remarkable voice, a remarkable life, she brought joy and passion and energy to the lives of millions. We give thanks for all that she gave of herself and her talents. And we give thanks this morning for what is bountiful in our lives, whether it be the love and care of our family and friends, the joy of our gardens, the pleasure of music or something sacred in our lives. As the days lengthen and spring shows its face, we rejoice in the turning of the season. And we remember that today is World Humanitarian Day, and we pray for all whose lives and livelihoods are affected by armed conflict in so many parts of the world. We think of all those who work in war-torn countries to provide relief, support, and medical care. May law and order be restored so that all people can live in peace and rebuild their lives. And we think especially of the people of Kerala in India, whose lives have been disrupted by massive flooding. We pray that they can recover and rebuild. And from the book, we pray for animals in shelters, and we pray for deep forgiveness, unselfishness, and let us live our lives more like you, Jesus. The circle of prayer, we think today of the people of Hong Kong and Macau and the Hong Kong Christian Council. In New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament, and today we name Pota Williams, Christchurch East electorate, and Michael Wood, Mount Roskill electorate. And here in the Central Presbytery, we pray for the leaders and people of St. John's in the City, Presbyterian Church, Wellington. And as we finish the circle of prayer, let us remember that it was Pam Ormsby who I think probably began the circle of prayer and certainly for many years wrote it. Let us pray for Pam today as she comes to terms with a number of things that she will be facing in her life at the moment. And now we pray the prayer for St. Andrews, and let us say together, this is on the card in your order of service, and if you're visiting today, please make this a prayer for your place and your community as you pray with us. Renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow Christ, and a new spirit of love towards all people. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the desire for beauty, and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do, and what we believe, the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
Let us reach down deep in order to stretch right up. Let us think seriously in order to live joyfully. Let us celebrate the breath of life within us with plenty of oil to sing and dance by so we can live in union deep within, knowing love surrounds us every moment of every day.